Turn with me, please, to the little prophecy of Haggai. Someone's likely to say that boy's majoring on the minors just now. We've enjoyed a few thoughts here. We trust they'll be a help to the people of God. Prophecy of Haggai. Chapter 1, we read at verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your way. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with coals. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Come down, please, to verse 12. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in his first glory, in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt doth touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? The priest answered and said, No. Look down, please, at verse 15. Now I pray you consider, from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and mildew, and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even unto the, from the day that the foundation of the temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. Just down at verse 23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. God will bless his word and the good ministry we've been hearing. There's something about these minor prophets that I find very interesting. And of course, the most of us are conscious of the fact that when we're reading in these small prophecies, we're reading concerning God's dealings with Israel. We're dealing here with Israel in a time when they were getting away from God. We're dealing with a prophet who was seeking to exercise the heart of God's people to again get to the business of improving and building the house of the Lord. Really, what's upon my mind for a little time at this moment of the conference is to look at God's work and God's house in a remnant age of testimony. Now, I know that we're making application from what we read here in the prophecy of Haggai. It has to do with a future day as well as his prophecy to them at that present time, at that time. And so, as we look at it, we want to make application of to my building here and have a service there. And then he said, maybe we could come down and have a service with you. And they really wanted us to get into that ecumenical spirit. Well, we had to point out that we were seeking to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way, and our place was outside of that particular denomination. I believe that we're living in a day when it's very difficult to take a stand for God in these things. But I believe it's very necessary for us to understand that in our place of separation outside the camp of our blessed Lord, this is the place where he desires us to be. And we have no place in those camps round about us who would seek to join. And the reason they would seek to join is to bring us down to their level. And we need to keep a clean, clear path of separation, not only in our personal lives, but in our assemblies as well. Appalling to hear, as I heard in some places in the East, as well as in the West, where men, denominational men, were sharing platforms with some who professed to be carrying on in the Lord's way. I find that appalling. When, beloved, we've been called outside of all that. We've been called outside the camp of the man who died for our sins at Calvary. We belong to him. He was given the outside place. And we take our place of separation with him. There were not only those who desired to join. It says that they weakened the hands of those that were building. And as soon as you begin to do something for God, there'll always be those who will try and weaken your hands. And sad to say, sometimes it's carnal believers that will weaken the hands of those who are seeking to do something for God. And then there were those counselors that were hired to frustrate the work. And then there was those who falsely accused the men who were busily engaged in the house of the Lord working, until finally, sad to say, the work ceased. Here's a man that God has raised up, and he's exhorting the people of God to build. I was thinking, when I was reading a little about this back in the book of Ezra, in those early days when they were working at that house, there was a unity there that would be nice to see among the people of God today. You remember
as you read in the book of Ezra, is it in chapter 3? You read that they gathered together. You read that they stood together. You read that they sang together. And you read that they built it together. And it reminds us of the early days of the church's history, where they came together with one accord. And if you go through the Acts of the Apostles, I think it's 11 times that expression is used, one accord. They were with one accord in prayer. As they prayed before the day of Pentecost, they were with one accord in expectation of the power of God that was going to come when the Spirit of God was given. They were with one accord in testimony. They were with one accord in their actions. And in those early days, the saints were together, building the house of God. Why, it's nice when God's people are united in their efforts to see the house of God built. And I believe this, that every one of us as believers, we have a responsibility as to what we're putting into God's assembly. We've been reminded of being in it at all times, 7 days a week, but we are responsible for what we're building into God's assembly. The apostle makes that very clear when he's writing to the Corinthians, that we should be building into God's house the gold and the silver and the precious stone. It seems to me to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble today, beloved. And it's not going to stand, and it's undermining the work of God. We need to be careful that a man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul says, I have laid the foundation, that another take heed how he buildeth thereon. And we have that responsibility of building into the assembly of God and into the things of God, that which will stand the test of time. But then there were hindrances, internal as well as external. And you notice what we read here. We read that some said the time has not come. These were some of the Israelites themselves. The time has not come. He says about others, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? There were those that were more occupied with their own affairs and their own interests and their self-interest than they were in the things of God. And I believe that Satan today is making an effort to get us so occupied with our own affairs that the house of God and the assembly of God is being left. Thank God for those ones among God's saints who have a love for the house of God and a love for the truth of God, and they're standing firm on those truths that we believe from God's word, and they're seeking to build into the assembly that which will last and stand against the adversary. There was not only those who thought it was the wrong time and those who were interested in their own affairs. There was misdirected activity. I noticed he says you have sown much and bring in little. And oftentimes there is a misdirected activity. Lots of activity, but not the kind that is going to glorify God. So much, he said, and brought in little. And that seems to be characteristic of this remnant testimony of this age in which we're living in today. Temporal interests instead of spiritual interests. Earning wages to put it in a bag with gold. Oh, brethren, we've been reminded already in the conference how important it is to lay up treasure in heaven. We're only here for a short time, and our little time of service will be over. When I was thinking about this, the house of God being neglected, I thought, well, Haggai points out some very interesting things here. And there's so many things that the remnant had. I'd just like to mention as briefly as possible, some of the things that the remnant had, even though there was this discouragement. I believe that one of the important things they had was the divine prompting that came through the prophet Haggai, go up to the mountain and build. trying to ease off on our own things, on our own affairs. Trying to ease off and going in for the things of this ungodly world that are passing away. Trying to go up to the mountain and begin to build for God. Now there's young believers here. I tell you, we've been reminded, and I remind you again, that now is the time to start living your life for God. The time is short. And if you're going to be anything or do anything for the God, for the Savior that died for you at Calvary, now is the time to get busy. Just to fill our souls. And we have spent efforts in Newfoundland. And there's young brethren came from different parts of the country. I'm not much of a poet, but I wrote a kind of a poem about the work that began back in Eastport. And I remember when we started that work, Brother Brian Funston and myself in the tent there, there was 18 men for 3 weeks at the beginning of that work that helped with all the effort of the tent work. Looking after the children, children's work, giving out tracts, open airs, running the buses and all these things to bring the people along. I unfortunately had the job at that time of making the dinner for them. I don't profess to be a cook. But anyhow, they managed to stay alive and let the boys look after their own breakfast and their own supper. But from different parts of the land, from out here in the West, down in the United States, and over in the East, and all these places, they came together, and local men, and they gave us a hand. Oh, I tell you, there's so much to be done, beloved. And the day will soon be past. God, stir our hearts to get at it again, to build the house of God. Divine prompting. And then I noticed that in chapter 1, in verse 13, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, with the Lord's message unto the people. What does he say? The Lord says, I am with you. I am with you. And the same down in verse 4 of chapter 2. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Not only a divine prompting, but the divine presence. Oh, thank God, while we may be a remnant testimony in the world round about us that hates our Savior, thank God we can claim the divine presence. We've heard that in this conference too, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I believe the assembly of God is unique and we can claim the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am with you, I am with you. When we look down, I look at verse 5, it says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, I was thinking of our brother Wilson's message today, when you come out of Egypt, what does he say? He says, even so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Not only do we have the divine prompting and the divine presence, but we have the divine power, the Holy Spirit of God. And thank God we can claim the power of the divine spirit. How often we seem to be destitute of power. And we wonder, beloved, where is the power among us? The potential is there because every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we can claim the presence of the Holy Spirit in the direction and guidance of our assembly. The power is there. We used to tell the folk it was like the, when we first went up on the Labrador coast, there were no roads, there was no phones. There was no facilities, there was nothing. It was just a barren coast and we had to do a lot of things to provide for ourselves. Well, I tried to talk to some of the boys up there. They didn't understand anything about generators, but I tried to talk them into going with me and buying a large generator that we could light a number of the houses. Well, they couldn't understand that, so we managed to buy one big enough to light up a half a dozen houses, and we put lights in there for them and had a few ourselves. And then, of course, we They all wanted to start getting electrical equipment, and I had to slow them down a little bit. But the reason I mention it is because oftentimes I would go up and I would put my finger on the button and look at the dial, and I think it produced 4.5 kilowatts or something like that. And there was always some to spare. I kept them at that place where there was always more power there if it was needed, until the hydro finally came in. But I often think the potential, the power is there, brethren, if we would avail ourselves of it. If we would remember that the Lord is among us, and the Spirit of God indwells, and the power is there to be a witness for Christ. You remember in Acts chapter 1, where the Lord said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." There's no doubt about it. The power is there if we would take advantage of it and use that power for the spread of the gospel and the glory of God and the building of the house of our God. I notice here that there's divine provision as well. Those resources in verse 8, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." All the resources that we have. We have this book with all that God has given us, provided us with all that we need in our pilgrim journey, heavenward and homeward. And it won't be long, beloved, until we will be at heaven and home. I just want to finish up quickly here and leave perhaps time for someone else as well tonight, today. I think of the divine prospect. Now I know this refers to that day that's coming. In verse 6, it's coming for Israel, it's coming during that tribulation time and then the millennium to follow and all, but it reminds me of that prospect, that divine prospect that we have. No, beloved, there's a day coming. It's coming very soon when we're going to be with and like our blessed Lord. The apostle tells us, is it in Romans chapter 8 that we wait for it? He tells us in that little epistle of Titus that we look for it. He tells us in 2 Timothy 4 that we should love it. And he tells us in Revelation 22 that we should pray for it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're reminded here all through the conference, "Behold, I come quickly." Oh, beloved, he's coming again, and we have that divine prospect in view that soon we'll be with and like our blessed Lord. Why is he coming? He's coming to redeem his promise to his people. He's coming to give rewards to those who have been faithful to him in this little while they've served them down here. He's coming to rectify those things that have not been set right down here, I believe. He's coming again to reunite those loved ones that have gone on before. He's coming again. I like this thought. He's coming again to reproduce in you and in me his own image and likeness. Thank God we're going to be like him and we're going to be with him throughout eternal ages. I'm not going to take time to look at some of the other things that are here in this chapter, but I believe there was divine perception, the priests with their discernment, and thank God there are still those who have a measure of divine perception among us, who understand right and wrong and the way things should be done in the assembly of God. But I believe there needs to be a concern and exercise among those who are younger to have a desire to be shepherds among the people of God and to study the Word of God that they might one day be able to lead and to guide the people of God. Oh, we need men with a heart for God's dear people. The sheep need a shepherd, and there's so many places today across this land, and we feel it in our own area of service. Number of assemblies, but all there seems to be such weakness in the leadership. And brethren, we need to cry to God to raise up those who have a desire to live for the glory of God and to be leaders among God's people, divine perception. And then there was divine chastening. We read that in the chapter. There was divine prosperity. He said, I will bless you. And oh, thank God, there can be blessing. And we're looking for the blessing of God among us. But we have a responsibility to go up and build and to get busy and active in the service of God. Then I read at the last of this little prophecy in connection with Zerubbabel, that dear man who was scourged, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak. There's rewards for those men. And there is a divine reward, a divine promotion for those who are willing to serve him. The day is coming for those who have been faithful among God's people. And we've been hearing of sisters who are faithful. And we need faithful sisters and faithful brethren. This lays to rest the dear brother up on the Labrador coast. He got caught in his fish net. Go over the back of his long liner. Just in his, I suppose, around 50 years of age. An elder in the assembly. And I thought as we took that funeral, God has his purposes. Sometimes we have difficulty understanding the purposes of God, and he took away a man who was a leader among God's people there. But I hope it causes an exercise for younger men to rise up. Men who have a desire to follow on for God and to use their ability for the glory of God and the furtherance of the assembly of God's people. But thank God, beloved, he's coming again, and we expect to hear that shout very soon, and we'll be with him and light him for eternal ages. May God exercise our hearts to win for building into God's assembly that which will be for his glory and last for eternity.
Amen. Jesus is coming again.